kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Everybody decided they needed my attention at 9:02.
Nice.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And I was like,
What do they need your attention for?
Number one needed me to hand her a rag because she's literally sitting in a bubble bath playing the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, God.
And number...
That doesn't sound safe. You're allowing but this.
She's got the Switch itself set on a chair. And then she's just got the Joy-Cons.
But she'll only get a little zap.
Yeah. No, she's fine. I trust her. She's 16. She knows how not to toaster bath herself.
Well, everyone knows how not to do that until they accidentally do it.
So what kind of life insurance policy do you have on your
head? How bad are you people that you like... Like, she's not sitting with them in over the water. She's got her hands out. Duh. Yeah,
and her hands are covered in what exactly? Water.
Nothing. She's not underwater. She's just sitting in a bubble bath. Do you people not ever, sit in a bubble bath and, watch TV or anything? Like, watch
a
tablet?
I've never had a bubble bath in my life.
What is wrong with you?
Cole's like, haven't you guys ever taken a nice, relaxing bubble bath with the toaster in there?
Have you seen me? Do you think that there is a bath that would accommodate me?
Yeah.
Oh, there's plenty.
I'm fat. I can sit in a bubble bath.
I've never had a bubble bath.
You can. You don't know what you're missing out on until you just sat and soaked in a bubble bath and played a game or watched TV or something.
That would involve having to put a TV in my bathroom, and that just
not
sounds
a TV.
Dumb.
You take a tablet or your phone or something. Or a laptop, whatever you've got.
At least phones are waterproof these days.
You don't even have it near the water. You just we have a stand back there by the tub.
Yeah, but then ads start playing on YouTube and it's just like...
Who uses YouTube? We'll turn on Netflix.
This all
requires saying, how is this not show content? It is show content because this is the SML podcast. I am your host, Joe. Cole's here. Jacob's here. Aki's here. How's everyone doing?
I'm concerned about your people's lives if you don't know how to, relax and take a bubble bath and watch something.
Again, I reiterate, have you seen me?
Yes, yeah, so I'm saying I'm every bit as big and I can sit in a damn bubble bath.
I think I'm significantly larger.
Convince you you're not.
All right, Joe. Nobody wants to bet your dick measuring contest again.
We're measuring a different level of girth here.
Yeah, I was going to say, we both know Cole has a bigger dick than you. So.
Very true.
My lady wood is impressive.
I'm keeping that.
That was perfect.
How's everyone doing?
My eyes hurt. Terrible.
Jesus Christ. Oh, God.
We're off to a banging start right now, anyway.
Oh, we are off to a banging start. I don't even know where I'm going to start the show.
I don't know. I'm discovering how old I am,
Ancient?
I'm at that age of adult life where it's even if I dab the pizza to, get the grease off of it, dab it with, a paper towel. 2 hours later, I'm still on the back on the toilet and wrecking it and shit like that, and it's just.
Is it bad when you said dab to pizza? I thought you meant you were dabbing with pizza in your hands.
You mean the dance move, or
is that what that's supposed to be? God.
Oh snap! No time for games. Subbing for the 30th month. That is insane, isn't that right, Purnell?
Fucking yeah.
That's right, Purnell.
I don't know if Purnell's telling the truth or not.
Purnell, are you telling the truth?
Fucking yeah!
There you go.
Purnell doesn't really seem like the type of dude to lie to us. So, I mean, if he said the sky was green, I'd probably be like, do you know what's causing it? You know?
That sounds like a chemical fire.
Yeah, I'd be like, do you have any suggestions of how to stay safe of this? You know, I'd trust Purnell. I would follow Purnell into like the seventh level of hell.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I'd probably
die along the way, like, but he'd remember me valiantly, I suppose.
I wouldn't have to follow him there. I'd be there already. It's fine.
Fair enough.
So who's typing away?
Sorry.
Not me this time.
Fucking Cole.
Yep.
The hell are you looking up? What are you doing?
A million things. I am so overwhelmed with shit to do.
I know how you feel, girl.
I'm just trying to like multitask and function and exist. You are not the only thing we put off this week.
No.
I have been in a flare. I have been dying on the couch for the last 4 or 5 days. I pulled myself out of a hole on Tuesday to do the show. On Thursday, I was like, fuck you, Joe. Life sucks. And honestly, I'm phoning it in right now. I'm just doing the best I can.
Proud of you.
Previously,
I know, because I actually use a mic and not my cell phone anymore, like some kind of Neanderthal.
Rude.
If only we got him like a headset through the show or something.
Right? Wouldn't that be incredible?
Yeah.
What if like Steel Series or somebody sent him a headset? Can you imagine?
I lost the adapter to hook it up to my phone, fuck off.
Jesus
Christ. You can get one for like 20 cents at the Walmart.
Yeah, they're not 20 cents. To hook up that kind of adapter for an iPhone, it's not 20 cents.
Oh, that's your problem right there. You got an iPhone.
$10.
Yeah, I know. I mean, here we go. Jacob, rich bitch video game reviewer.
I mean, we see iPhone, he's getting paid around here, God.
Literally have one in my desk. $10.
Well, you know what? When I come up either next week or like in 2 weeks, I'll buy it for $10 off of you. Make it a nice even $60 I owe you.
Well, you can just buy him a new video game when it comes out sometime.
No, well, Joe only buys
bought my copy games. Of Yakuza.
I was about to say, Joe only buys video games if there's a collector's edition included, so... No steelbook, no trade.
Cole knows what's up.
Well, he could buy him a digital game, regardless, because Joe will buy the digital one. It doesn't matter.
No steelbook, no deal.
That's what happened for Amalur.
Yeah, how many copies of Kingdoms of Amalur came through my desk, and how many people got the game digital that wasn't me?
A lot.
I think they're all on this show.
Did I get my copy through you, or did I get it through IGT? I can't remember at this point.
You got it because you won the coin flip.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then you got it through IGT, and you gave it to me, and I think I gave that one to Jacob.
And then somewhere in all that mess, I got one, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait,
fuck all of you. Fuck all of you.
Hey, I told you that since I got one through IGT, you could have the one that. But no, you gave it to him. That's on you.
It's because I already bought it.
Yeah. I mean, I had to
buy it digital because Amazon fucked up my collector's edition shipment.
Did you ever? Well, yeah, I know you definitely got it.
Yeah, I got it eventually. It was like later on that week. I was annoyed, but
I'm the only person that I know who doesn't have issues with Amazon. Everyone else is always getting shit late, but I'm like, I've never received anything late for them.
Well, yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, if I get my shit late, all I do is just get on the chat and bitch about it, and they give me a gift card, and then I'm not mad anymore.
They never give me gift cards anymore.
Dude, I
have not in a while.
They're like, mad about Amazon with their shit. I ordered a fucking Funko Pop of the Silver Surfer back in August. Like, it was a pre-order, and they were selling it for $5. And then they're like, oh, we're not sure when it's going to come in. Do you still want it? Yes. Okay. A month later. We're still not sure when it's going to come in. Do you still want it? Yes. Okay. October, they're like, we're not sure when it's going to come in. Do you still want it? Yes. Okay. All right. We've decided we're going to cancel it. Oh, also, by the way, it's now available for sale for
$13.88.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. I'm fucking mad as hell. Like, they fucking canceled my order so then they could try to sell it to me for $14 instead of $5.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Damn. No Time Saying just ordered Assassin's Creed Valhalla Ultimate Edition Digital. I have that coming physical because I have the collector's edition coming from Ubisoft.
Terrible. Isn't that like a stupidly expensive collector's edition?
Like yes.
160 or something like that.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah. I just got the Watch Dogs one this week. That's a pretty nice collector's edition.
How big is the skull?
Oh, it's big.
Mask, whatever.
It's pretty big.
Is it something that a person can wear?
No.
Oh. That's all that mattered to me. I just wanted to know if someone could wear it. Oh, that's
what matters is who has pre-ordered the Ori collector's edition.
Nope.
I have. I want to so bad, but it's not in the budget.
Yeah.
I've owned Ori, the first one, since before I even had my Xbox One. I still haven't played it.
What?
Yeah.
Listen, Pernell.
Fucking yeah!
How have you not played Ori? Like, what is wrong with you people?
Friends with her anymore.
I mean, I haven't played a lot of games on my fucking Xbox at this point.
But somebody said something the other day.
Was it me again?
Huh?
Was it me again?
No, somebody said something the other day about my true achievement showing I had played over 1,000 games. And I was like, you don't see the ones I haven't played. Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm the same way.
I mean, how I've owned Assassin's Creed Origins since shit around the time that Odyssey came out, and I just now started playing it just like a week and a half ago. So, yeah, I take forever to get around to things. There are some things I play immediately, but most things I don't have the time. I'm always doing and playing other games.
All about the backlog, and backlogs are going to get bigger because it's a new month coming up, and that means new games with gold and new PlayStation Plus. Like how I shot into the news right there.
Very nice. Well done. I'm like proud of you.
I still need to play Maids of Skur or whatever it is.
Well, you better get on that because it's not going to be free for much longer. Or did you already redeem it?
It was in Games with Gold.
Yeah, did you get it? Did you redeem it?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure you got it.
It's weird because every time I actually go and check it, it doesn't say I own the game like it does for all the other ones. But it's actively installed on my Xbox because I installed it that day.
I would double check that shit.
Yeah.
It doesn't show up under like my titles, expert games with gold or whatever.
Normally, it'll still show you the price. Like, you can have the option to buy it. Because if your games with gold ever runs out, you don't get to have that title anymore.
Yeah.
So they still show you an option, like, if you want to permanently buy this.
Yeah, but usually when you're checking the games with gold, like the games that are currently out for it right now, usually underneath it says owned or whatever if you've when
mine have always just said install.
Oh, mine have always said owned under it.
Yeah. Only the 360 ones show me as owned.
Beer. I've never played a games with gold. There's always something better to play.
There are a lot of good games with gold games out there. So many. I've only presented a few of them.
This month my favorites
was So Many Me.
That was a good one.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that got me to start searching Twitch and Twitter for more indie games.
Which one was that about? I don't remember that one.
You're like a little green blob that can duplicate itself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a platformer.
That explains why I didn't readily recognize it.
Terrible.
I'm bad at platformers. And now you understand why I haven't played Ori yet.
Anyway, Ori is not a free game with gold. The Xbox One lineup for November, the entire month of November is Aragami, which
yes,
not a bad game. That's a pretty good game.
I love that fucking game so much.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Yeah, I'm angry that you got that to review for Xbox.
And it's co-op.
Yes, it is. That was part of the DLC that was added, but they gave that for free to the Xbox. It was nice. Right. I still need to buy that on Steam.
Well, now you'll have it on Xbox.
Yes, and I'll have it both, and I'll 100% it on both, because I love that game so goddamn much.
Oh, there you go. November 16th through December 15th, Swim Sanity, which I think is a really interesting addition, because it's only a few months old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that one. Joe and I reviewed that one.
Yeah,
that one. I thought it looked familiar.
Arnage saying they also updated it, fixed some bugs and achievement issues, which is good to hear. It was surprising to see that turn around so quickly into a Games with Gold title. I wonder what led to that. I wonder what conversations happened to it. It's just such a quick turnaround, it feels like. Normally, a game will either launch into it, or it takes a while, a couple of years, for it to show up.
Who knows? But I'm sure it had to do with throwing money at somebody.
I don't know.
No, there have been a couple of times where a game has hit Games with Gold after a couple months, but it's not common.
Carnage saying really they also lowered the price from 25 to 15 on that, which is interesting.
Yeah. I would have thought that Swim Sanity was going to hit Game Pass before it hit Games with Gold, but either way, if more people get to try it out, that's good.
Yeah, hopefully it gives the game a player base.
Yeah.
It was a cool game.
Yeah, it really was.
And then the backward compatible games for November, the 1st through the 15th is Full Spectrum Warrior on the original Xbox, and the 16th through the 30th is Lego Indiana Jones.
Yay.
More Lego games.
Yeah.
I'm always down for that. I'm not even sure if I own it. I might, but I got excited when I saw it.
The only Lego games I've ever owned were the ones that were on Game Pass for me to play, or the ones that have been free through Games with Gold. I didn't like this the entire time. I was like, oh, those games are for kids. I'd never enjoy those. And then I was like, you know what? It's on Game Pass. Fuck it. I'll just play one. See what it's like. I became kind of obsessed. I played all but one of them that were ever on Game Pass, and almost all of them that have been Games with Gold. I just haven't gotten around to some of them. They're real time sinks, but they're so good.
Oh, cool. I don't own it. So hooray.
Yay. I think I own all four of them.
What?
I'm sure you do. You own everything.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure that shocks absolutely nobody. But PlayStation Plus has something that nobody owns yet, because they're actually giving away a PS5 game next month.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
Yeah. Bugsnax is launching direct to PlayStation Plus, which is really cool on PS5. Again, this is the PS5 version only, and it does not apply to the PS4 version of the game, which I think is really interesting that they're only giving away the one version.
Hmm. I'm glad they're doing it, though. Launching it directly into that is nice. They took a gander from the Xbox and decided, yeah, we'll do that too. It's good for them. I really would have liked them to do both, but
maybe we'll see it hit other platforms in the future, but for now it is on what
I said Epic.
And I said fuck Epic. I mean that in the nicest way possible. Fuck Epic. I hate Epic.
Anyway, the actual PS4 games for November are Hollow Knight and Middle Earth Shadow of War, which that's a pretty goddamn solid month.
That is
pretty good.
Yeah.
Can't fuck with that month. That's a really solid month for PlayStation. They brought it for the console launch, and Xbox kind of farted out a month when you compare them.
Yeah. Well, that's a shame.
At least Sanity should get more players.
At least we've got Game Pass.
Yes.
I think Aragami is probably better than Hollow Knight. I don't care what anyone says.
I mean, isn't Is the new Yakuza game launching into Game Pass?
No.
It's not, is it?
No. It's not? Nope. Oh, that sucks. I thought it would be.
Nope.
Oh, well.
Huh.
And speaking of that, interestingly enough, I discovered, at least for the Xbox One S, that thing installs straight to the internal. It's like a, Joe, what did I say it was? Like a 37 gig download?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I was a little surprised. It doesn't let you like split it between internal and external for whatever reason. So if you're like me,
that's weird that it wouldn't let you install it on an external.
Yeah, I was real surprised. I had to move a bunch of shit over to my external.
For what game?
The new Yakuza.
Like a dragon.
I would assume that is probably because they're doing the whole thing with the Series X games have to be on the Series X internal.
But this is for an Xbox One S.
Yeah, but I mean, they've probably just coded it and just been it has to be on the internal, you know? Like, I would assume that they've probably just not gone the effort to make it different between the different
consoles. Who knows, but Watch Dogs let me install it to an external and Dirt 5 downloaded to an external, so maybe there's just something funky with Yakuza.
Maybe. I did install Watch Dogs to an external, so I didn't have any trouble with that, because my external
is a solid state drive. Of you.
Hey, I bought my copy. I didn't win it like some people.
I feel attacked.
As you should. When was the last time you actually had to buy a game, Cole?
I bought a game a couple days ago, actually. On Epic.
Well, you deserve that.
Why?
I bought the Red Lantern.
Yeah. The what?
The Red Lantern.
That is
the game.
Yeah, I had a code when Rocket League went free to play. If you launched it through Epic at least once, you got a $10 coupon. And the Red Lantern. Yeah. Well, you better use it before the first, because that's when it expires.
Expires.
Shush! I tried to stop it, but it was too late. It was already out there. But I had the Red Lantern was on sale as a launch sale from 25 down to 20, and then I had the $10 coupon, so I got it for $10.
That works.
And as far as I'm aware, it's an Epic exclusive anyway, so that was the only place I could get it. But I have been wanting it, and I was very excited for its release. Oh no, I guess it is on Xbox. Well, we didn't get it. but yeah, anyway, I wanted it, so I just bought it. But I do buy games from time to time.
Red Lantern? I don't see it on Xbox.
It's according to Google, it is on Xbox. It says Switch, Xbox, and Microsoft Windows. This doesn't even list Epic. But yeah.
No, maybe it's coming to those other platforms.
Maybe. But it's only out now on Epic and Nintendo Switch. So, but yeah.
You start shit talking that we don't get a game that's not even available yet.
I mean, it is available. You could have got it for me on Epic or Switch.
Did you ask for it?
I shouldn't have to, Joe. It's your job to divvy out the codes. You're the host. I'm the co-host. And I do believe that, yes, in the past, I have said I would like the Red Lantern and I Am Dead. And you said, we can't get I Am Dead because we suck.
Was that an Annapurna game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, fine then. And I guess you figured I just couldn't have the Red Lantern either.
Well, I sent an email on it, so I did my job.
I would play it on everything. I don't care. I just want to pet the dogs.
Maybe we'll hear back on Xbox. So yeah. We'll see. So yeah, Game Pass.
Game Pass. Great. Celeste is coming to Game Pass.
Yes, it is. There's a lot of games coming to Game Pass. A lot of games came to Game Pass this week. October 27th, we got Carto to console and PC. That game looks really cool. I downloaded it. I haven't had a chance to fire it up yet, but it looks really cool.
I know nothing about it at all.
Nothing.
Same.
Not a thing.
I remember somebody saying it was a puzzle game. I was like, oh, but I haven't.
It's like a cartography puzzle game.
Yeah.
Where you move the map around to solve puzzles. It looks really cool.
Yeah, it's definitely one I'd like to find a little bit of time for.
And then October 29th, a lot of games hit Game Pass. A lot of them. Mm-hmm. A whole bunch of games. Day of the Tentacle Remastered, Full Throttle Remastered, and Grim Fandango Remastered all hit console and PC. Five Nights at Freddy's 1 through 4 hit everything. PUBG hit Android, Scourgebringer hit Android, and Unruly Heroes hit console, PC, and Android.
Okay. Nice.
So a lot of games.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to those three LucasArts games.
Well, they are out and available on Game Pass right now.
I know.
You know what you need, Jacob?
Game Pass.
Get it for me, too.
I need LucasArts to send us, codes for review. That's what I need.
Y'all need to start buying shit. Listen.
Hey. I buy shit.
That's not true.
I can only do so much. God damn, people.
I bought stuff. I mean, Yakuza, I just bought the latest game.
I can't wait till we get a code in for that.
Dude, I told you, like, somebody else can...
I'm going to take it and then say that Jacob has to do the review. I'd be like, I'll just take the spare.
I figured, like, me and somebody else would do a tag team review.
I pre-ordered it at Best Buy for the Steelbook.
Of course you did, because you're a consumer whore.
I also got the 13 limited edition for the Steelbook.
God, I can't wait for that game to come out.
Joe, are you able to achieve an erection at this point without saying Steelbook?
No.
No. November 5th, Celeste is hitting everything for Game Pass. Comanche is hitting PC. Deep Rock Galactic is hitting everything. East Shade is hitting everything. And Knights and Bikes is launching to console and PC.
Nice.
Knights and Bikes is cute. I like that game.
I'm glad to see Deep Rock Galactic hit Game Pass. I think it could really benefit. It's one of those games that, like, when people play it, they're super into it and they love it. But getting people to hear about it at all has been a nightmare. It came out how long ago?
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
Like a while. And every time I mention it, people are like, what? I was like,
I don't think it helped that it launched a game preview.
Yeah, that does always seem to like kick a game in the nuts, sadly. People have a weird quirk with game preview and they don't trust it the way they do.
Especially if the game launches without achievements. They're like, ew.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play that game. That's gross. No achievements. Ew.
Yeah, it's really an uphill battle in that regard. And that's a shame because I've played a lot of game preview games that I've really enjoyed.
No.
Carnage said Descenders was game preview at first and then it got big when it released, but it also full released into Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what pulled it up out of the hole.
Yeah, Game Pass, they've gone on record saying how much Game Pass has helped them.
Yeah.
And apparently Phil Spencer said that Game Pass is self-sustainable right now.
That's fantastic.
Oh, wow.
So financially, it's just doing its own thing, and it's working for them. A lot of people are talking about it, and it's cool that they're bringing some DLC to Game Pass as well, because November 17th, Ark Survival Evolved is getting the Explorer's Edition to all Game Pass platforms, which includes Scorched Earth, Aberration, and Extinction expansion packs.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
I fucking love Ark. Also, did you see the video they released with like all the information for the Series X upgrade?
No.
Like, it's going to be tetherless multiplayer and stuff. So with Ark, when you're playing on the servers, obviously they're always on and it doesn't fucking matter who's there and who's not, you know, you get on and you play. But if you want to play in a private game on a non-dedicated server, you were always tied to being within 300 meters of whoever was hosting the game. So if Student and I wanted to split up and go and like flank dinosaurs or something, or set up a trap for like, you know, a T-Rex or something like that, we couldn't do it we were stuck. We had to be within 300 meters of each other. You know, if one of us had a faster flying wyvern and the other ones was slower, there were many a times where I'd take off on him and then 300 meters, it would rubber band him to me. And it was crummy. It was the worst part of the game. You could be doing something and then just get too far away and get rubber banded back. So now there's, with the upgrade, they're not going to have tethers anymore in the non-dedicated server. So you'll actually just be able to go and explore the world in the game with your friends without being literally tied to your friend.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's the most, like, I'm so stupid excited for it. I'm like,
you want to know what's not cool?
What?
Lots of things.
Cyberpunk got delayed again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've given up on that game at this point. I give up.
It is now moved to December 10th, and apparently they're not even 100% positive on that either.
Yeah, the funny part was that Path of Exile, I think it was, delayed their DLC because they didn't want to go against Cyberpunk.
I mean, honestly,
the ripple effect.
I think they should have just left that where it is, because God knows it isn't going to come out even then. Shit, they should have just left that DLC, and then they still, no one would have been fighting for time. They still would have, they'd been just fine. With their luck, they've delayed it, and the next Cyberpunk delay is going to put it right to that time too. Keep biting them in the ass.
I feel bad for the Cyberpunk devs, though. They can't fucking win. If they delay it, then people are, like, you know, sending them death threats. And then if they don't delay it and they crunch, and then they get in trouble for doing crunch, even though they said they weren't going to. And
I mean, they're crunching anyways, even with the delay. They're still crunching. Well,
yeah, but, you know, they shouldn't crunch. But either way, they're not going to fucking win. People are going to be shitty to them either way at this point. And the only thing that I can hope for is just, hey, I hope the game's cool when it comes out. I do feel bad. I know one person who had pre-ordered the game and, like, put into that morning to take the whole week off for work. And oh, no. they posted about it on Discord, and like 5-10 minutes later, we were like, oh, shit.
Yeah, no one knew it was getting. Like, it was Twitter people didn't even know it was getting delayed or anything. It came out of the blue.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I don't think there's any problems with delaying games. I wish that, honestly, I wish initial release dates were put far enough out that it gave them ample time to feel comfortable with it. But we're in that, gotta have it now. As soon as we see it, the hype's there. You gotta have it. And
I also don't think it's been helped that all the Night City Lives are made specifically to hype the game more. They keep hyping it themselves.
Because they're pushing for that release date, you know? And it's a whole big scheduled ordeal. It's not, you know, five people in a neighborhood basement garage set up somewhere, you know, trying to bang out a little indie. It's a multi-billion-dollar corporation trying to keep to a schedule. There's a lot that goes into it when they have to say, fuck, we got to delay it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially four times in 1 year.
Especially this close to release, too.
Yeah. I mean, they've had to sit and look and go, look at all the money we've put into marketing. All that's now shit the bed. Think of every promotional thing you've seen that has the release date marked on it.
Yep.
That's all trash now.
Yeah.
All those giant store displays.
Yeah.
Going to be a lot of duct tape and replacement dates.
Yeah.
I was going to say, a lot of that stuff, they'll just have a sticker, like, mailed out to the store and have them slap it on it. So, I mean, that's whatever.
They don't. Though, I mean, when you see those big posters and stuff, they have to reprint all that shit.
Well, the posters are different, but I'm talking about, like, the cardboard displays and stuff like that. I'd be surprised
that if they don't all have- gets redone. All of it. It all goes. All of it.
All of it?
Yeah.
all.
I'm telling you, that's not a thing. Like, there's literally not going to be CD Projekt Red dudes sending out label makers to slap over a new. No, they're going to tell them trash it, and here's a new one. They're going to go through that whole process of that marketing spiel with the new release date, and you better hope the fucking hell they don't got to push it back again.
Oh, they will. I don't think it's going to come out until about this time next fucking year at this rate.
I really think that they should just scrap the current gen versions of the game. Release it as a Series X, Series S, PS5 only game.
Yeah, I think
that yeah, it should. They may have sunk way too. They may have sunk way too much money to make that.
Oh, they definitely have. I think they should release. Sunk
too much to do that.
I think they should release the current gen one or the next gen ones right now, or current gen, whatever you want to call it, now, because it's already done. It's been gold for a while. What they're focusing on now is making the Xbox One and PS4 versions work.
Apparently, the Xbox One is the biggest problem.
I'm surprised.
Because it's the weakest.
That's a shame. I think they should release the Series X and PS5 versions. They should release it now. That way they get some of the money coming back in, and then they can just put the other one back, say, okay, it won't be ready for like another 6 or whatever months.
No.
That way they at least get some money in, and then the people on the current gen can get it when it comes out. I mean, shit. They need to get some money in, because they've put a lot of money into this.
Yeah.
They need to start getting some in, or else it ain't going to be good for them.
I don't know. But some other bullshit where money is exchanging hands. Activision and Sony are back with their bullshit with Call of Duty. Cole, did you see this?
What is it?
The Zombies Onslaught two-player co-op mode will be exclusive to PlayStation for a year on Call of Duty.
They're fucking you're doing telling the me they
didn't
again.
Learn their lesson last time? No shit.
What, PlayStation. Did something bad actually happen last time to them when they had an entire remote blocked off for a year?
No, that's exactly it. It didn't happen.
They didn't have a lesson to learn then.
Exactly. I mean, that was the point, Aki. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
You're welcome.
Sneeze. What?
What'd you say, Jacob? You have to actually, like, speak into the mic.
I said, all I did is sneeze. What do you mean? Like, when Cole said, thank you, Captain Obvious.
We'll just leave it at that. Leave him in the darkest.
All right. Sony has delayed the release of Destruction All-Stars from a launch title to February 2021 release, where it will be included with PS Plus.
Okay, well, at least they made up something for it.
I think this is the best thing they could have done. I think the game was going to be overshadowed at launch, and I think it being a $70 title was absolutely absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And now that it'll be part of PS Plus, it's going to do really well.
Okay. I don't know anything about it.
I don't think any game needs to be $70.
No, that's the world we're moving to. So.
Yeah.
I can understand why people don't like it, but I don't know. If movie tickets and shit have gone up in price too, so why not?
Well, that's because no one goes to them.
But they were like, people bitch that it's like $20 a ticket. Not here, it's like $5 because poor people. But I mean,
yeah, no one goes to them, so they have to raise prices so they can continue to pay people. That's why
But inflation exists, and so developers have to raise prices so they can continue to pay people.
I don't know. When a company makes $1 billion in profit a year, I don't think they need to raise the fucking price of their game so they have even more profit.
I'm not saying that that's the point. That should be the selling point. Just that the cost of developing games has gone up, and so from that economic standpoint, it makes sense for the prices to go up. Now, who's getting paid how much out of each part? It's a whole different story that we'll get onto, and my little liberal communist side will get going.
Oh,
we don't
want
to get into all that. That's what I'm trying to get here by saying the price is going up. It only makes sense whether you like it or not, and who gets paid out of it or not, is a whole different cup of tea. But it's reasonable that the prices go up with inflation.
I guess. I still think it's...
I'm honestly surprised that it's only going up $10.
And look at look at Ubisoft games. We've been paying like $110 for Ultimate Editions of their games for how long now?
Yeah.
I've been waiting until they're $60.
I mean, I've paid over $150 for The Division 2.
Jesus, woman. I've spent, $20?
The Ultimate Editions and everything.
I think I spent like $20 on it.
Okay, there's a free update that's going to be coming to Super Mario 3D All-Stars. Get this, it's going to have some mind-blowing options in it, like inverted camera.
Ew.
In what?
Do you even pay attention when I talk?
Yes.
Oh, shit, are we still doing this podcast?
Jesus Christ.
I just missed the whole, like, I didn't hear the whole thing. Remember, I am heavily medicated. I want to go back to my couch. What is it?
My name is Cole.
Perfect likeness.
I said a free update is coming to Super Mario 3D All-Stars that is allowing for some mind-blowing options like inverted camera.
I thought we talked about this before. That's why I was confused.
God, you're... update hits November 16th. Nintendo also had a little indie showcase where they showed off cloud streaming versions of Hitman 3 and Control, where it's played via streaming.
I have bad internet, so that kind of stuff doesn't matter to me at all.
Cole, any thoughts on that?
Nope.
That
she wasn't listening.
Not really.
I was, but just have good they were cloud streaming control.
I mean, if it's good, that'd be super useful for you, Cole, because you have good internet. You can actually use that.
Yes.
Yeah, but that kind of stuff, like, and I was talking with Fab from Cowcat Games about this the other day. It's just like, yeah, it's kind of neat, but our issue with this kind of shit is just like, how long is it going to be supported for? Like, true. You know, it's a really neat concept, but it's just like at least with like a game that gets delisted, like if you've already got it, you know, on your hard drive or whatever, it's like whatever. Or like in terms of Microsoft, you know, most of the delisted games, as long as it's in your order history, you can still re-download it. But I brought up the game War Games from Echo Video the other day because I discovered recently that I can't access any of the episodes in the game anymore, and which was weird because I was able to access episodes 1 and 2 previously, and it turns out that the whole fucking game, you just essentially paid for a platform to access achievements from viewing the game on the, or from viewing the videos on the cloud. And it was just really bizarre. And I'm just like, well, then what the fuck did I pay for? Because the whole service went down back in January 2019. Cause I had gotten my Xbox One and I immediately had bought the game because I'm a big War Games fan of the 1983 Matthew Broderick film. And, I played it a little bit, but I didn't do that much with it. And then, so I fired it up the other day because I was like, oh, well, I see the achievements are oddly rare, like for everyone. I wonder why. I should go take care of that. And I can't access any of the videos. And Echo Video actually reached out, like, yeah, there was an update with Xbox and it completely like messed up our thing. If you want to, you can message us and we'll like explore getting you credit or a refund or some shit. But it's just like, I mean, that's really cool on their part. And I am going to thank them for that because I wasn't even expecting a response from them. But it's just like that kind of situation's fucked. I mean, it's just like, so like, how much is Hitman, like this Hitman game going to cost? It's going to be like probably $60.
Full price.
Yeah. And then when's it going to disappear?
No.
Like, are we even going to get notified that it's going to disappear? It's just like, I
would assume Hitman 3 would get a little bit more of a heads up than War Games.
You'd hope, but that's the thing. You hope. And it's just, I think it's neat in principle, but I don't trust it in practice at all.
That's fair. Yeah.
I don't think any of these are going to succeed at the moment anyways. I just don't think the internet infrastructure is there for that, at least to enough people for it to actually succeed, I think is the issue. And I think at some point, streaming is going to be where it's going to be, obviously, because every company wants that. It's going to happen eventually. But right now, internet's not good enough. And all of them are going to fucking fail because it's not good enough. I don't know why they're trying. They should know better.
I don't know, but they did release some other good stuff on the Switch. No More Heroes 1 and 2 released on the Switch for $19.99 each. I am very excited about those, and I very much want to pick them both up. I love my No More Heroes.
Is that the one with the dude with the lightsaber sword?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That game looked interesting.
Although, doesn't it ruin the load screens or something like that? Like, mm-hmm. I had read something about it because, like, now that it's a digital release, the load screens are hell of a lot shorter. Because there was some sort of, like, mini game with him on the toilet or some shit. I don't remember. I just remember reading about the load screens back when I was in college, back in, like, the early 2000s. So, I don't recall. But I did hear that something's up with the, like, loading between missions now that...
No clue. I didn't hear anything on it.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Some bad news. The Gears Pop servers are going to be shutting down April 26th, 2021.
Fuck that game.
I had fun with it.
It was okay. And then once it became play to win, it was just like, yeah, fuck this shit.
Fair.
Like, I was having a lot of fun with the game up until... I had leveled up, like, I realized that, like, I wasn't doing something correctly that was allowing me to access all, like, the different arenas and all that other kind of shit. And once I did that and upgraded my guy for it, all of a sudden the game just became completely unwinnable. And it was just like, unless I paid out shitloads of sums of money for it. And I was just like, yeah, fuck this shit. So the game brought it on itself. I'm sorry, but it was fun. But I'm not going to lose any sleep over not being able to play it on my phone.
Carnage is not happy that he says that they took his money and never gave him the premium items. And then worse, the Windows 10 update broke the game, causing him to not even be able to load the game again. That sucks. I didn't run into any of those issues. I played it on iPhone and iPad, and all the in-game purchases that I did worked fine. I did like a $5 bundle here and there. I don't know. I had fun with it. It wasn't a world changer, but I got a good amount of achievements in it.
I remember playing it a lot during furlough.
Yeah.
So.
Well, last bit of news I have is that apparently Far Cry 6 has also been delayed at least until April, but no concrete date has been given.
Huh. Oh, well.
So,
thank goodness, because David was hollering to pre-order it, and I didn't want to.
Why?
I don't know. Because we're in a budget crunch right now with Christmas coming and two kids' birthdays, and I was just like, no.
Just tell him to play Far Cry 4. It'll be fun.
He has. He recently got, again, during an Epic sale, he got Far Cry 4 or 5. And
well, tell him to play it again, then. You're taking down a dictator in both games. It's fine. Just tell them to play 4.
Just get the collector's edition from the Ubisoft store because it comes with a replica flamethrower.
My goodness, no.
But does it work?
We don't encourage rednecks to do redneck things.
Unfortunately, no. It's not a working flamethrower.
That does not mean that he couldn't modify it.
That exactly.
Y'all worry
me. Then maybe you won't have to deal with those stupid ass neighbors of yours anymore. All the more reason to buy it and let him modify it.
Oh,
burn
Lord.
Down half the damn state in the process.
Well, that seems reasonable.
This episode
to
is going
to
be used as evidence, isn't it?
Probably.
God damn it.
Hey, hold on, Joe. Hold
hey,
on.
It means you'll get more views, Joe.
Exactly. It means that you have a captive audience immediately. because they'll have to listen to it in court. They'll bring it up on CNN. Finally.
You'll get so many fucking views.
Exactly. We need to start talking about more illegal shit on this show.
The weed and rampant Vicodin use wasn't enough.
No.
Everyone does that, Cole. Jeez.
He's got a point.
That's true.
Well, that's your own fault.
I'm a pure butterfly.
Yeah, bullshit. Anyone have any other news, or should we dive into the reviews?
I mean, I got two possible stories that we could talk about. So Sony is supposedly going to buy Crunchyroll for almost $1 billion. I mean, I know it's not necessarily video game related, but I thought it might be an interesting thing if, like, they ended up tossing that into PS Plus. I mean, it's pure conjecture, but I mean, like,
well, they own Crackle and they don't do anything special with Crackle.
The fuck is Crackle?
Like, just movies and TV shows.
Yeah, it's a free
ad supported.
Yeah, I was gonna say that thing's ad supported and stuff, but I mean, like, Crunchyroll. I mean, that right there is. I mean, that's bread and butter for Sony. I mean, with all of its JRPG, you know, fan base right there. Because I mean, even still to this day, as much as everything gets ported over to the Switch and the Xbox One nowadays, I mean, everyone still, you know, associates Sony with JRPGs.
Yeah.
So and like, you figure everyone who is in that fan base is also an anime fan, most likely. So I don't know. I thought it, like, that would be an interesting thing if they had if they would do that. But of course, nothing's been said. But there's that. And then also, GameStop is supposedly going to be making big changes on how they sell games. Only the top 200 games, top selling games, are going to have actual
physical copies in store.
Thank you. Or no, not physical copies, but like the actual, like, cases out on the shelves. I was like, what? You know, the things that they put the discs in that protect it.
Cases. So wait,
they're only going to have people be able to see the 200 most popular games, but they'll still have all the other games there, which means no one will know that they have the other games, which therefore makes that fucking pointless.
Not necessarily, because then dumbest. You have to go up to the front desk and be like, hey, do you have this? Where they can then sell you on other shit. See, forced to talk to the employees.
I think that's a dumb idea, because, like, most of the games that I used to buy from GameStop was just some random shit that I'd never fucking heard of.
Yeah, there's so many times I go to GameStop and I'll look at the shelves and I'll be like, that game looks stupid, let me try that. And I'll just pick it up off the shelf. Like, I don't have any examples. I don't know.
That's how I got lots of the PS2 games I have. I'd never heard of any of that shit. I mean, I got .hack from that, and I have every .hack game now on PS2 and on Steam both. Jeez. And I'm craving more.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I used to discover games from my, like, original Xbox. Even into the Xbox 360 days too. But that's apparently what they're going to do.
Yeah, that's going to bite them in the ass.
I was up at GameStop today, and I noticed that things were just laid out differently with how things, like, everything was faced. There was nothing showing a spine, and everything was, like duplicated. Like, there were two or three copies of everything, and it just, it didn't look inviting.
You know what? It almost reminds me of, like, the new release wall at Blockbuster.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, I wonder if they're going for that kind of aesthetic.
Yeah, but let's remind everyone, what happened to Blockbuster?
They turned down buying Netflix twice.
And where are they now?
There is one left in the entire world over in Oregon.
Okay, so why does GameStop think this is a good fucking idea?
Exactly. Because
they want to have one GameStop left in Oregon.
Jesus.
Maybe they can turn a profit then.
I'm amazed that piece of shit still exists.
What are we talking about, GameStop or Blockbuster?
GameStop, because I don't know of all the shady shit Blockbuster's done.
Hey, the people at that Blockbuster seem to be a pretty plucky bunch. So I appreciate what they do. GameStop, not so much.
Hey, when there's only one GameStop left in the country, we're going to cherish them, too. Like, remember when GameStop used to be the shittiest company in the world?
Now it's the shittiest company in the world, and it's only one.
We're gonna re-remember it like we do with George W. Bush nowadays.
God. Let's not get into politics. That's for next episode.
All right. Also, last episode, you guys did talk about Maze Dude's Kickstarter, right?
No.
Oh, well, he has a new Kickstarter campaign up for his Words and Verses album.
Yeah, we mentioned it. I mentioned it just in the write-up quickly because we played a new Maze Dude song on the show. Right. I don't know if he's going to come back on or not to talk about it. But
well, he had talked about it previously. Like, he was on, like, a while back to talk about the project, but that was before there was going to be a Kickstarter, or before the Kickstarter got going. But let's see where it's at.
You're on the ball with this. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Currently, he is like 1/6 of the way through his goal. A little over $2,000 that's been pledged for a $12,000 goal. Got 23 backers with 25 days to go.
Nice.
So go back Maze Dude's latest project.
Yeah, check the show notes for the last episode. There's a link to the Kickstarter in there.
There is also a tweet about it, too.
Yeah, so I'm sure everyone pays attention to us on Twitter.
I do. That's the only reason I remember that the show's going.
Right? Not that you're actually reviewing games on your... Oh, man, I just keep getting all these free games in my email. That's weird. Like...
Speaking of, should we get to the reviews?
If we must.
I guess.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is called Transformers Battlegrounds, developed by CoatSync, published by Outright Games, released October 23rd on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $39.99. With Earth Under Invasion and Megatron Leader, the Decepticons close to capturing the Allspark, Bumblebee and the Autobots need a new commander to help them restore peace to the universe. By you, I mean Jacob. Jacob, tell us about Transformers Battlegrounds.
Transformers!
Robots in disguise.
Anyway. So it is a turn-based tactical game, which I was a little surprised by. Or it's also squad-based, too. As you get farther into the game, you get more characters, and of course you have to save the city that you're working out of, but I don't know. The plot's a little convoluted with how they explain that you, a human, are working with the Transformers, but it's like, okay. Sorry, I just saw the message come up from Aki. Anyway.
Way to address that no one else could see.
It's
good job.
Well, thank you. Anyway, so...
So, Transformers.
So you're playing as this human that teams up with Bumblebee and Windblade and Grimlock and Optimus Prime and, like, a handful of others. And you're pretty much just moving your squad through the city, and you have to protect it, and you have to stop the Decepticons. It's a standard Transformers story. Like, you know, you're not going to be getting anything amazingly groundbreaking with this. But with the gameplay, you have to do the standard stuff. It tells you, like, you know, this is where you can move, and you have X amount of energy to use up, and then you can use that energy to also attack your enemies. And pretty much you just have to move through the levels and complete objectives. And the game, thankfully, will tell you that you don't need to kill all the Decepticons to beat the level or to beat all the objectives and stuff like that, thankfully, because the game does keep regenerating them sometimes. And early on, I was just like, shit, this is getting worse. like, I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. And then the game's like, hey, did you know you don't have to beat all of them? And it's like, oh, thank you very much. So anyway, Yeah, so I think the game is most likely aimed at like a 10 to 14 year old age group, I think. I don't know. I think it's based on like the current Bumblebee show, I think.
Well, you follow Transformers. I figure if anyone would know, it'd be you.
I haven't been watching the latest stuff as much because my kids aren't really. They kind of like it, but right now they're all about the Jurassic World show that's on Netflix. Like, you have no idea how many goddamn times I've had to watch that show. Like, and it is like a six or eight part miniseries. And I swear to God, my kids go through it like every 3 days or something like that. But anyway, so as I said, it's a standard Transformers plotline. You're moving the team through the city. You destroy your enemies. Move on to the next objective, you run into different other Transformers. There's some fan service with it. But it's fairly simple. I'll be honest. The game itself feels like this is a port of a mobile game or like a tablet game moved to consoles. And it's not really like a bad move. It's just when you end up considering the price point for this game that I'm like, because the art direction is it is really nothing to get excited about. The sounds are fine. Like, there's nothing that crazy about it. However, they don't include the simple Transformers transform sound.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was disappointed that I didn't hear that in the game.
Yeah, I don't know if it's supposed to be in like one of the packs or something like that, but it's just like you'd think like the most simple of things they would have had access to for this game. But like whatever. I mean, like it has like its own generic sound, but that's the problem. Everything in this game sounds generic, it looks generic. It feels like a mobile game moved to Xbox One.
Yeah.
That being said, like, it's a fine game, but I, for that price, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I have way more fun with this game than I did with the G.I. Joe game, but, I'll be honest, like, this one, I think, is more of a try it for me, unless you can find it on like major sale, like 50% or more. I'd be more comfortable with paying like $20 for this game, but not the 40 or 50 if you buy the digital deluxe edition.
No.
But as I said, I unlike G.I. Joe, this one's a definite at least try it.
It feels like a good first person's. Or a person's first tactical game.
Yeah.
It seems like something that would be good for someone who eventually wants to get into something like XCOM.
Yeah, I can agree with that kind of statement with that, because it does a lot of hand-holding in the first act. My only issue with that is that like the game does, thankfully, it does like explain this is what this move is going to do. It will hurt some of your teammates if you do it in this area, all this kind of stuff. But there were a couple of instances where it said it was going to do XYZ and then it only did like XY. And I was a little annoyed. I mean, I have yet to lose a battle in this game. Granted, I'm playing on the easy setting, but I was a little surprised that, like, you know, the game was just like, oh, yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
So. All right. Well, that is it for you. I guess we'll let you get going.
Thanks. Bye, Joe. Bye.
No, thank God.
You have any final words before we let you go?
Bart.
God. All right. Next game to talk about is called Hyper Brawl Tournament, developed and published by Milky Tea Studios. Released October 20th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $24.99. Smash, brawl, and score your way to victory in relentless high-adrenaline PvP arena battles for 1-4 players. Master the Hyper Curve and channel the Hyper Force to become the greatest hero in the universe. Cole, tell us about Hyper Brawl Tournament.
So this is basically like what would happen if football and soccer had a love child. There's different ways to play Hyperball Tournament. You can either play it locally, or you can play it online against other people. If you're playing it locally, you can play it with local other people, which you should not be doing unless you're playing with people in your household because COVID. but if you are playing it, if you don't have other people who are safe to play with in your house, then you can play it against bots. And when you do that, you can go through a whole like campaign scenario of like a tournament and championship and all that. It basically boils down to you can have two people on your team. You control both of them. You pass the ball in between them. They have abilities to smash and whack and drop bombs. And there's all kinds of different little specials that you can assign to them. And that is their hyper level, I guess, if you will. And then you just try to get the ball in the hole, the other team's hole. That's the long and short of it.
It is a sports ball game.
Yeah. The other team comes at you, you whack them with a hammer, and then you put the ball in the hole. It's just A to B. I mean, there's not a whole lot to go into there. And it's fine. It's fine. I don't have any complaints as far as the sports ball game goes. I'm not the most sports ball playing person in the world. I like Rocket League and not a whole lot more beyond that.
This feels good for like the Rocket League style crowd. It feels like a good 2v2, just shit talk with a friend against some strangers.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you can play. Yeah, I guess you can. I didn't try that, to play two people, not controlling, like one person controlling two of the characters with the AI taking over when you're on one of them. I didn't try to have two people play on the same team. I don't know why I didn't think to try that. I tried literally every other way that the game could be played, and then why having somebody play on my team didn't register as a thing to do. Like, you said that, and it just, my brain went,
well, it is for like, up to four players.
Though, that 2v2. Is true. Yeah, but it just never registered to do it that way.
I'm proud of you.
I know. And when I played online, it seemed like every time I got into an online game, which I was able to play online, I was able to find a person to play with consistently. I wasn't consistently finding people to play with, unfortunately. It was usually me and a bot against somebody else and a bot. But there was enough people on, which is a big deal because I keep odd hours. But there was enough people around that I was consistently finding games. I wasn't waiting for an obscene amount of time to get into a game. When I played a game, I didn't feel like lag was a factor. I didn't feel like I was being put out by the lag in any kind of way, or that there was anything wrong with the coding for being online. It was just like, no, I'm playing this and it's fine. It works. I'd love to be more detailed over the different teams and everything. There's a lot of different ways that you can set up and play. I do have one minor gripe as far as the team setups go. All the female characters have less health. If there was one that was female that didn't have less health, and I'm sure the devs will be like, no, there was one. I didn't see it. But all of them have like 70 and 80 health. And then like there's big Minotaur characters with like 180 health. Jeez. And you're just sitting there going, what if I just want female characters? The plus side is that they're faster, but it does suck that literally all the female characters are small. Overwatch at least has a couple chunkier female characters. If Overwatch can do it, Hyperball can do it. I just want to see some chunkier characters for the female side. Not all of them need to be Minotaur dudes. That's a minor gripe, but that's a me gripe, you know?
Yeah, that is a you gripe.
And when I'm setting up to play, I want to have an all-female team, and then I feel like I'm at a disadvantage because, well, the only ability I got is to run faster. They're going to look at me once and knock me out. And it was true. Every time I played a game, the other team always had most knockouts. And I was like, no shit. They got to look at me sideways. I'm blown with the wind. There was a good variety of maps. Interestingly enough, even though like it's football meets soccer kind of arena battle or sports ball, they put a lot of effort into creating different maps. Like there was one, for example, that was round and it had different like pillars you could run around. There was another one that had laser walls that would come up that you had to plan around. Another one had just tree branches scattered around that you had to get around. You can't jump for shit, so you can't just jump over these things either. You have to actually like think about how you're going to get around the enemies and get around the obstacles in the arena. One actual non-gender related complaint that I have is that when you are playing the AI alone, the rubber band on their skill is gross. Absolutely gross. I played a game and I was up 5 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the last minute of the game, the AI scored 10 points.
Jesus.
And I'm like, what the fuck did I suddenly do wrong that I went from 5-0 to 10-5? And it was just, I don't know. Like, there was just something that happened where all of a sudden the AI were like, well, we're getting our ass kicked. Let's murder everything. And I couldn't do anything about it.
So computer cheats.
The computer cheats. And that was consistent. Cheating it wasn't bitches. Always that severe, but it was always consistent. That if I was doing well, by the time we got to that last minute, the AI were going to start pulling some shit.
Well, you know, the good thing, you get to talk about that on the next episode.
I am going to talk about that. I'm a bitch about it. I'm be like, I need you, because I played on super pussy crybaby mode. I'm not going to sit and act like I didn't, because I don't do sports balls. And so I was expecting, like, I would have expected them to be able to keep up enough so that it was a fair fight, but I didn't want it to just completely rubber band and blow me over at the end where I couldn't do anything about it. But beyond that, it's sports ball. It's solid online, solid local multiplayer, good variety in maps, good variety in weapons and everything else.
$25, your verdict?
I think it's a solid buy. Yeah, if this is the kind of, you know, if you don't mind the sports ball games, then this is a good one. It's just not, you know, I'm not a sports ball player.
Yeah. And the AI cheats.
And the AI cheats. Now, fuck the AI. Cheat, but I'm going to put in some... I'm going to put in some work and see what we can do about that.
Sounds good. We will revisit this on the next episode. But next game to talk about is Asterix and Obelix XXL Remastered, developed by Osum Studio, published by Microids, released October 22nd on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $29.99. After a finds day hunting, Asterix and Obelix return to find their village in flames pillaged by the Romans. They set off to rescue their fellow villagers accompanied by their faithful dogmatics. Their journey will take them to Normandy, Greece, Egypt, and finally Rome in order to save the villagers from the clutches of the Emperor Caesar. Aki, tell us about this one. Aki?
Aki died. She went to get Tums and she died on the way.
Did she die? What's going on?
The last thing she did was message she went to get Tums.
I know, and then she said back.
Oh, did she say back? I didn't see that. Oh, well.
Aki, your mic.
Hey, now.
Dark Mika has left.
Wow. Wow.
Are you back?
Hear me?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. I was talking that entire time.
Nice. Well, I'm not editing, so tell us about this game.
Thank you for saying Greedus. That made me happy. I reviewed Lost Vagum on here a while ago. This is very much the same. The combat isn't as good, in my opinion. It's not as fluid. But
well, this is the first game out of the three.
Yes, that's true. But in this, you basically just beat people up as either Asterix or Obelix. Asterix is the tiny dude. Obelix is this giant mountain of a man. And they're going around finding all the rest of the people in their village that have been kidnapped and spread across the world by Caesar. Because Caesar's a dick. You have collectibles you can find that are golden laurels. I don't know what they do if you collect them all. And you collect Roman helmets in order to go to upgrade shops and buy new abilities. There's only like 8 abilities, I think, in total, which are just you fill up this meter as you beat enemies. As long as you beat them quickly enough, it doesn't go down. But once it reaches max, you get access to these special abilities if you've bought them. And while it's also up, your attacks do more damage, just in general, which is nice. Most of the abilities I've found are always combined between the two characters. So if one character throws one of the enemies, the other one can jump up, grab it, and slam him into the ground, causing a big shockwave, stuff like that. You can only control one character at a time, but the other character is always moving around with you, which is really nice. They'll attack enemies, they'll break open boxes, they'll hit boars, which occasionally give you health. It doesn't seem like they particularly target anything but enemies. It seems like anytime you attack, they kind of just want to hit something in general, and sometimes... if a boar is around, they just might happen to hit it. The only things the AI actually seems to focus on is attacking the Romans. Otherwise, they're just hitting because you hit, even if they're hitting fucking nothing. There are a number of levels. Each level seems to get increasingly longer and longer and longer. There isn't a lot of save points in the game. However, it auto-saves, and it auto-saves at a fairly regular basis. You can always leave any level that you're currently playing and revisit an old one. It gives you different locations to spawn into the game from, either from the start or from one of the very few save points there are, which is nice, because you don't have to play the entire level from the fucking beginning again. But again, there's only a handful of saves in any given level. Like, in the first level, there was one, and I think there were two or three in the second level.
So yeah, they weren't too frequent.
Yeah. But it's fairly well-spaced, and if you quit out of the game, when you continue, it starts you off wherever you were, because it does have auto-saves that aren't just those save points, which is nice. In order to get some of the laurels, though, it's kind of a bitch, because sometimes you have to do stuff for the sneaky little bastard that was part of the Roman Empire, but was canned because he was useless. And quite frankly, in my opinion, he still is. But there's these little mini games where you have to collect a certain amount of Roman helmets for him. And then he unlocks something. Sometimes it's to get further in a level. Sometimes it's to unlock access to a golden wreath. Either way, they kind of suck, because you have to get however many he wanted in that specific area. And some of them are a big, gigantic pain in the ass for no reason other than, hey, keep playing this one section for hours, because we want you to. Aren't we great? Other than that, the graphics, you can switch between the old graphics, even the old sound and music and everything, or to the current day graphics, which is nice. And there's some challenges that you can do in the game that require you to collect coins. And you have to switch between the old graphics and current graphics in them.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. Some of them are really hard, but it's really fun. I enjoy it.
It is cool that there is just a dedicated button that swaps between old visuals and new visuals, like 4:3 screen aspect and everything to new visuals, all in HD.
Yeah, it's really good. And in the settings, if you prefer the old music, I think you can even set it to where it only plays the old music. Because I remember there being an option in the settings for something like that. I didn't mess with any of those because I was like, I don't I'm not 100% sure what they do, so I just kind of left them alone. But I believe that's what that one did. This, depending on if you're competent or not, this game can vary in length. I haven't managed to finish it because I'm wanting to get all the golden laurels, and I'm incompetent. So this game's going to take me a long fucking time to finish. But I would guess, mate, most people could probably finish this 10-15 hours would be my guess. People like me, if you're worthless, you're probably looking at closer to like 30 to 40 hours.
Damn.
Maybe more. Yeah, I suck. I suck so bad. I'm still having trouble with the sled one, that sled one that I talked about from fucking level 2.
Jeez. So,
yeah.
I believe in you.
I've played that same section for like 8-9 hours, just that one section, over and over and over in total. I hate that section so fucking much.
And I almost beat it on my first try. I got like 1900 out of 2000.
I've gotten 17 to 19 a handful of times at this point, but usually I get closer to like 12 to 15. I suck so bad at this game.
Proud of you. Well, $30 for Romastered. What do you think of it?
I mean, I do like some of the mechanics in it, like those challenges where you switch between the new and old style, which is really cool. But I think the gameplay is better in the second game to a significant degree. So I'll say try it if you like these games, especially if you like the old one, the original. You're going to like this one, obviously. Otherwise, I'd say get it on a sale probably, because if you get easily irritated at games, you're going to get annoyed at this game real quick.
Yeah, if I never have to carry a fucking flame through a windy tunnel again, I will be more than happy.
See, that part, I actually didn't mind stuff like that.
Oh, that irritated the shit out of me. It would get so close and the wind would pick up and blow.
There's lots of little things to irritate you in this game, because it's made in order to make you play the game longer. So it just has these little sections that are just stupidly hard for no reason other than stupidly hard.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's a decent game. I think number two, the combat's better. I like the graphics in this one, but the irritating parts, I'm not good with the game flipping me the bird constantly. I get angry. So I say get it on a sale unless you actually really, really liked the original or like the series, then totally this is buy it. If you don't like them, this one really isn't going to fucking change your mind.
All right.
This
well,
is going to make you punch a hole through the wall.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is Stories Untold, developed by No Code, published by Devolver Digital, released October 27th on Xbox One and PS4 for $9.99. Stories Untold is a narrative-driven experimental adventure game that bends the genre into something completely unique, combining a mix of classic text adventure, point-and-click, and more. Four short stories are packaged together in a single mysterious anthology that has earned widespread critical acclaim since release. It's finally on console. Cole, what do you think of it?
You didn't say the price.
Yeah, I did. $9.99.
Did you?
Yeah, pay attention.
Why did I listen to all that specifically for the price and didn't hear it?
It released October 27th on Xbox One and PS4 for $9.99.
He said that.
I don't think he did. I think you guys are lying to me. Anyway, if you've ever heard me talk about nostalgia on this show, you've heard me say that my nostalgia for games basically like falls back to the old text-based adventure games where you literally like had to type in look at the mailbox or open the door if you wanted to make something happen. There were no graphics. Just we couldn't do it. We played that shit on word processors, right? So everybody, you know, gets nostalgia games remade and gets to have these kind of experiences, but nobody fucking wants to play text-based games anymore, do they? We have ray tracing now. Except me. I still want to play text-based games. And so I'm super fucking excited about Stories Untold because I wanted to play text-based games.
And it lets you do that, and it does it in this incredibly wonderful, creepy kind of way. I don't want to give away any spoilers, but basically, for the very first episode, it's very short, and you are in it's a first person type of perspective, although you can't see hands or anything, and you have an old PC set up in front of you, literally one that you like had to put a cassette into, and you have the options to, you can press left bumper and it will bring up a menu, and you're able to choose to, you know, look at things, open the door. So it'll have a set of verbs and then a set of nouns. It's a verb. It's a verb. What you do? I don't know. Grammar's not my thing. But it'll have a set of commands that you can put in, and then you can be more specific about what command you're trying to execute. So there's a monitor, like it's old CRT, orange on, you know, black screen. It's wonderful. Everything about it is aesthetically wonderful. It feels very, like, much like it's out of 1978. I adored it. So it starts off with a text-based game where you're pulling up to an abandoned house and you're remembering it fondly, and it was your family's home, and like you get to look around, and then you go into a room in the text-based game. All of this first episode is text-based. You go into this room, and then shit pops and breaks and starts over, and it becomes a horror game. And then you're exploring the same house, but it doesn't have the same positive nostalgia element for you. And it becomes a little creepier. And then it just flies off the deep end and gets wild. And I loved every second of it. And after that's all said and done, there are three other episodes as well. The point and click, or the text-based element of it, is only like the start, and as the episodes progress, they add in these different elements, so you're not just limited to the text-based gameplay all the time. It will add in some other puzzle elements and stuff later on, but it mainly sticks to that text-based computer system type of gameplay. Surprisingly very creepy. I appreciate that it's scary without like relying on cheap thrills kind of scares. Like, it's very much that unsettling, psychological, creepy, and that's the shit I love. I can take jump scares, but they're a thing. But if you really want to get me shook down in my core, fuck with my brain. And all the stories untold do a good job of fucking your brain. I was so into it. I really appreciate what they've done with this game. It felt good. It felt good to just play something that finally had that nostalgia element for me.
Well, then overall, $10. What do you think of it?
It's a definite buy it. If you're like me, you're old as the hills, and you've played those text-based games, and you know what you're getting into, you're gonna love it already. If you like a more psychological horror that's not gonna rely on nonsensical jump scares and shit to scare you, but actually like give you a story that makes you feel creeped out, you're gonna be super happy too.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next game to talk about is They Bleed Pixels, developed and published by Spooky Squid Games, released October 22nd on the Switch for $14.99. A fiendishly difficult action platformer inspired by weird fiction and gothic horror. As an anonymous student, I can't talk, of Lefkadio Academy for Troubled Young Ladies. And the names. You must battle through your nightmares to defeat a curse that's slowly transforming your body into a clawed demonic form. This one sounds interesting, and Serlina wrote in a review, this is what she's got to say, as I click to close it and fuck it all up. Greetings, SML friends and fam. It's Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing They Bleed Pixels for the Nintendo Switch, developed and published by Spooky Squid Games. They Bleed Pixels is an action combat platforming, slightly horror, gothic Lolita puzzle smorgasbord of a game where you will jump, hack, slash, stab, and figure your way through this incredibly interesting world and look adorable in the process. Let's get on to the review. In They Bleed Pixels, you play as a nameless girl because names aren't important in this game, who is a new student at the Lefkadio Academy for Troubled Young Ladies, who finds a book that's been defiled by blood and is teleported to an alternate world filled with zombies that want to lick her to death and lots of stabby spikes with which to impale yourself upon when you misjudge jumps. She doesn't go into the world unprepared as she's armed with red claws for arms, the occasional kick or two, and a penchant for combos. That's the story, and I'm quite interested to know more, but that's all I got for you because this game is insanely brutal. This is not your mama's platformer. You will die, and those deaths will be gruesome, plentiful, and accompanied by an unholy scream. My God. The zombies are not difficult to dispatch at all. Usually a well-timed kick will send them to their spiky grave. The only problem is you might die to those spikes as well. You do have 3 hearts to play with, but getting stranded and spiked 3 times is remarkably easy. This game will make you work for every bit of progress that you make. There's a save system that I really like. As you traverse the levels, you collect these blood orbs that are floating around. Once you get enough, you have to stop moving to create a save, and you can't create a save on unsteady ground. It's pretty cool, and I dig the idea of earning your saves. They Bleed Pixels does seem to know that it's a hard game, so there's a really good tutorial to teach you how to play. And there's 2 modes you can play in, regular and novice mode. In novice mode, the levels aren't as long, there's some collectibles you can't get, your scores and times aren't saved, and the final level is locked. Even so, it still kicked my butt. I do wonder how long the levels are in regular mode, because in novice mode I found them to be too long. The combat was decent, and if you get used to how the combo system works, your score will go through the roof. For me, that was difficult because performing in the stabs, kicks, and jumps, if you don't press the right sequence of buttons, the girl will do something else. That little slip will easily lead to your death, and at some point, you really do get tired of the death cycle spiral. Graphically speaking, it's an 8-bit pixel game, so don't expect too much. I will say that the cutscenes were an absolute delight and looked fantastic. The levels seem to be designed well, but the sprites are, you know, there. You know what everything is, and that's the important thing. The music's pretty good, too. Apparently, the music was made by DJ Finish Him, and if that name means something to you, you'll probably be stoked. They Bleed Pixels is available right now on the Switch for $14.99, and should you buy it, for me, this is a solid try it. This game is really not for folks who don't have extensive platform experience, and for an 8-bit game, it's surprisingly graphic. Keep the young ones away, but for the speedrunning and platforming community, this game is their deepest, darkest fever dream, the game they prayed to the Eldritch gods for, so play it if you dare. Sounds good. That one sounds really interesting. Am I talking to myself? Anyone?
Yep.
No? Were you even listening? Were you paying attention?
Yes. Speedrunners prayed to the gods for this one.
No time. Thank you so much for dropping 100 biddies. George, take it away.
Drop it, bitch!
Thank you, George. Always a pleasure. I miss George. We got to get him on soon.
It's true. It's been a while. It's
true. All right, next game to talk about is Clea, developed and published by Invert Mouse, released October 23rd on Xbox One for $12.99. Mom and Dad have been experimenting on Chaos Servants, but now the monsters have been let loose. Clea, with her brother in tow, must escape from the Whitlock Mansion. Watch your back, Clea. Those closest to you may be the real terror. Both of you cover this one. Who wants to go first?
Mm-hmm. Aki.
Okay. All right, Aki, tell us about Clea.
I 100%ed this game, and it took me like 3 days.
My goodness.
Yeah. Is that an oh my goodness? I 100%ed it that quick, or oh my goodness, I am a slow bitch. Which one is that?
I'm not sure. Just oh my goodness. 3 days. 3 days.
Yeah. In Clea, you play as Clea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's... what, like 10 or something, I think, something like that. She's a kid, and some weird shit has gone down suddenly on her birthday. Some freaky fucked up people have, you know, appeared inside their giant mansion of a house, and they have like bug parts coming out of them and weird shit. They're not good, and they want you dead for reasons that don't honestly make all that much sense.
The parents experimented on them. Aki, did you not pay attention?
I did. And Aki, there's more to it than that, mm-hmm. Which explains why it doesn't make sense. Anyways, so you, your brother, your mom, your dad, and a shit ton of maids, apparently, all live in this ginormous fucking house. And the parents are experimenting on some bad people. At least I assume they're bad people. At least they are now. In order to effectively save you from some bad mojo that you were born with. And basically, the entire game is you just trying to get to the next level without being slaughtered. Which isn't particularly difficult. I've played through it 3 times to 100% the game, so it's not too bad. There's, 6 levels to the game, I think? Each one of them can be completed fairly quickly once you know what you're doing. First time, though, you're probably looking 30 minutes, maybe, for each level. After that, you can beat it in, 3 or 4 with no real issue, because nothing changes on any of the maps. So every item is located in the same place. All the solutions are the same. You figure out what you're doing real quick, real easy. And yeah, you're just trying to escape these monstrous people that are trying to kill you and trying to find your family. And let's just say that doesn't work out for you at all.
Cole, did it work out for you?
No.
No, that's story beat. It does not work out for you.
Trying to get you involved escape. In the review, Cole. Someone's muted and playing something else.
I'm not playing something else. I had hit the mute button on accident.
I've been playing something this entire time, so including right now. There's not really much to say, because if I talk about the story, I'm going to end up telling everyone the entire story, because there's not much there.
Yeah, so don't do that.
And the gameplay is you can hide from the monsters. You can run, but it makes noise, which attracts the monsters when they're close to you. Otherwise, you walk slowly or you crouch and make no noise, which makes you go super slow. You get red scars that you can heal with a health potion in between every level you get them, and you have to use a health potion. If you don't, suddenly loud noises are made around you and stuff, and the screen goes fucky, and then all the creatures immediately, no matter where they are, aim for you, and you have to hide immediately or else you're going to get yourself killed. But as long as you take a health potion, that's fine, and there's a fuck ton of them, so you're never going to run out. On that, there are candles that you can find occasionally that on harder difficulties you can use to save, and or you can use on any difficulty, including the harder ones. You can put them as the candle that you're carrying around to see stuff, and it will scare off the monstrous people until you enter the next room, which sounds like it's super useful and good. But it's not, because they enter and exit doors just like you. And the problem is, they'll usually exit the door that you need to go and exit to. And if they don't, once you enter that exit through that door, they know where you are, so they're just going to run at you anyways. So it's best not to use the candle for that and only use it for saving. If you use it at all, you can, once you know what you're doing, you can literally just run through the game, even on one of the harder difficulties, and not worry about anything. Every time you beat the game, though, you get new dresses for Clea, which give her new abilities. And after you've beaten it once, you also unlock a few different modes, an arcade mode, and lots of different options for how you can play the game. One turns all the enemies invisible, which, you might be thinking, why? Oh, that was my second playthrough. I immediately flipped that on. But the thing is, each one of these options, there's 3 of them, I don't remember what they all are, they give you new dresses for her. So the invisible one, for playing through the game with every enemy being invisible, you can still hear them, but you can't see them, which makes it really hard, obviously, because all the monsters are faster than you, and some of them are significantly faster than you. But once you beat it with all the enemies being invisible, you unlock an outfit that's the invisibility outfit. Enemies can't hit you when you have that equipped, and you can still get achievements if you have that equipped. Nice. So once you have that, you can flip that on and you can get every achievement that you want, because you can run around enemies. Enemies might hear you and chase after you, but they can't touch you.
Nice. Cole, what were your thoughts on the game?
So I liked it. I liked it to an extent. I was really frustrated with a lot of the back and forth gameplay. The stealth elements are kind of what pissed me off. Of course, Aki loved it after she got the invisibility cloak and was willing to do that. But I got frustrated with a lot of the back and forth because it felt like you move a little bit and then you immediately have to run back somewhere to go hide before you actually get to do anything else. And so I just felt like I was constantly, you know, one step forward, five steps back.
That's the entire point of the game, though.
I know, though, but that's, I don't like that. Like, I like the puzzles and I liked looking for things and experiencing the game, and this constant back and forth was just a pain in the ass to me.
You don't like stealth games, do you?
I like stealth. I don't mind stealth. It was just that I don't like when stealth takes away all of my progress to make it happen. Like, if it would have been like, oh, you can hide under a table when something is coming at you, that would have been different. That's a different kind of stuff. But this backtracking stuff was where I kind of lost it. I mean, it played fine. It's fine. I don't have any complaints. I just didn't love it quite like Hockey did because I got frustrated with it.
Well, $13, I need your verdicts.
I totally think it's worth it. I love the game. It is so fucking fun.
I'm cool giving it a try. I think it plays well. I think there's a lot there. I think it justifies its price tag. I just think that there's a lot of more people out there like me who are going to be put off by the constant backtracking and feeling like you're not getting anywhere.
Makes sense.
Yeah. All right, that's just something to take into consideration. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You meant it.
I fucking did. Shut up, Joe. What's next?
You told me to shut up.
Oh, yeah. Good night.
Just end the show right there. Fuck the rest of the review. Oh my god. All right, next game to talk about is called The Language of Love, developed by Ebihime, published by Rattle Lake Games, released October 27th on PS4, 29th on Xbox, 30th on Switch for $11.99. Mitsuki, an aimless young man studying to take his university entrance exams, falls for a young single mother who lives in his apartment complex. A relationship develops between these mismatched social outcasts, and then ... all fill in the dots.
I don't want to give away any spoilers.
Okay, well then tell us about the game instead.
Okay, so here's the thing. You know how sometimes we get visual novels and like they at least expect a little bit of input from you?
Mm-hmm.
This one does not. This one just wants you to be along for the ride. I will say that I can't pronounce it. Ebihime. Their visual novels are really well written. And for The Language of Love, there's a little bit of like mental gymnastics involved to get started with it, because the dude's been like unschooled. And so now he has to like catch up on all this schooling, but he's in high school, but it's okay because he's an adult. And so then he falls in love with someone. Like, why not just make him a 20 something year old? Why go through all the whole high school element of it? It's weird. that's just the thing that I don't know. And these visual novel anime games do this. Anyway, I was frustrated by all that, but otherwise, it's a really nice little love story. I can't pronounce the chick's name. Starts with a K.
Can you spell it?
No. It's like K Y O U K. And then I can't remember if it's an A or an I, like Kiyoka or something like that. Yeah. But she has a little girl, and the little girl's name is Tama, and like she's the kind of the bridge that brings the two main characters together, and it's just a story about their time together. this is definitely like I don't know why I had this and not Aki kind of game.
Because you other saw Radaleika and you took it.
Oh yeah.
The same reason you take all their visual novels.
Oh yeah.
Shit.
I'll get to that in a second. I actually did just the thing is like you can sit this game, like I said, there's no inputs or anything. It's not a game, it's a story. And that's fine. It's a really good one. But it's a story. There's no input or anything. Yeah, actually, I always do.
It seems like one of them you just skip through for the achievements.
No, I always listen to them. It's just that they're not typically like my topic of like preferred reading material. Like I'd rather have vampire porn, right?
Now we know her fetishes.
Yeah, I'm honest about that. I'd rather have some paranormal romance visual novels.
Go read Twilight then.
No, gross. But you know, for what this one is, it was a good one. The story was good. It was intriguing. I followed along with it. I just don't want to spoil any of it. But for actual gameplay, it's literally just set the speed that you want the text to go and press play and just let it go. If you don't even give a fuck about the story, you can set it to go full speed and in 3 minutes it completes and you get all the achievements.
And some people that's what they want.
Go fuck themselves.
I didn't hear what Joe said.
I said some people just want that.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't care if you buy the game to do that, that's you. That's your money. But that's a thing you can do. I would recommend at least setting down to a speed that you can keep up with and read along. And then I still used to skip. I just set it down to where I could just read it though. I speed read. Not enough to put it on skip at full speed.
I don't think anyone can do that on.
But I did set it to a slightly faster, but one that I could keep up with. And I just let it go, put the controller down. It was kind of nice to just sit there and read along to the story and see the scenes. There are a couple of scenes that are a little more mature. and that's something, it's not full on After Dark worthy, but they're a little more mature, so take that into consideration if you're planning to pick this up. You know, make sure you're of age. That's it, Joe.
That's it.
Really a 3 minute completer.
I thought you had more. Well, 12 no. bucks, what do you think?
12 bucks is a little harder a price tag to go along with when there's not even so much as like alternative storylines or anything. I'm gonna go with a try it, but usually when I have a visual novel at that price point, I would at least like a little more involvement in it. I think it's a fine story and I didn't mind sitting through it once, but when it's done, it's gone and that's it. And that's a little more disappointing.
And it is only T-rated, so I think you're exaggerating a little.
Is it really only T-rated?
Yep.
On Steam, it was like, this is 18 plus. Tell us your age 7 times before we let you in.
Well, Steam might have different options.
Maybe. Well, maybe if people mod it.
It probably has adult content on the Steam version, would be my guess.
I don't know. You don't even you see some side boob. I don't know.
Anyway, next game to talk about is Monster Prom 2 Monster Camp, developed and published by Beautiful Glitch, released October 23rd on Steam for $11.99. Monster Prom 2 Monster Camp brings you more of the world's best and maybe only multiplayer dating sim, but in a way you've never expected. Aki, tell us about this one.
Yeah, remember when I did Monster Prom XXL recently, everyone? Yeah, it's that, except for it's at camp. Instead of going to prom, you're at camp and you're trying to get some summer lovin'. They decided after the first game that all their subsequent games would keep 2 of the characters from the original one, including this DLC, as members of that game and then give you a new rest of the cast. So each game will focus on a different two. This one, you still play as one of the same four characters, which I actually remembered what all of them were this time. The Frankenstein girl, the fire avatar girl, and then the two guys, one's a zombie and one's like the shadow person or something. So those are the characters you can choose to play as. And this game, you're going after Damien, the red demon boy from the original game, the calculator guy, the robot dude, from the DLC of the first game, and then you have another choice, which is Milo, who is a god of death, basically. He's a Grim Reaper. And he is just a standard guy who has the paint of a skeleton on him. Like, he's been painted completely black and then white bones painted on him. And he is really into Twitter and Instagram and stuff. He is one of those types of, I am famous, look at me duck face all day of people. Yeah, I hate him. I hate him so fucking much. And then all the girl characters are brand new this time, obviously, since I've already told you the two that it's focusing on, and both of them are in the dude category. Big shocker. There's Joy, a plus-size witch, who is really adorable and kind of a shithead. Then you get a monster hunter who has been cursed with a demon, I guess, to be attached to her. Her name's Avara, I think it was, and the demon's name is Hex, and he's just a floating green mist and a mask that sticks off her back all the time. She's a sadist. She is a sadist. She wants to kill everybody. Because, again, she's a monster hunter, and all of you are kind of monsters. So it's very weird. She's highly violent. And then there's the best one, Dahlia, a big, beautiful blue Oni girl with giant muscles and sexy scars and all the good stuff. She's about as smart as a rock, which is a shame. In this, remember how I said there's like 500 different events and all that other crap from the first game? Yeah, there's already exactly that many in this one. It's going to take me so long to finish this game. So long. But other than that, literally everything's the exact same. You get either the 30-minute or the 60-minute playthroughs. And this one, it actually feels like they're 30 minutes and 60 minutes. Whereas the first game, it felt like you could complete the 30-minute one in like 10 minutes pretty easily. Even as a slow reader like me, it felt like I got through it much quicker than 30 minutes. This one, it felt like it took me that long or a little longer. All the days just feel like there's a bit more to them. They also added another mechanic where you get drinks and they do something to your stats. I still haven't quite figured that out. I don't really understand the drink mechanic, but it's made to buff your stats so you can get with one of the girls. And like the first game, I'm terrible at this. So I still have not bagged my big blue sexy, which is a shame. This one, yeah, this one I feel is funnier than the first one. And they're both pretty funny, but I think this one's significantly funnier. Like, for instance, again, Dahlia is about as smart as a fucking rock. One of the teachers is a giant chameleon, basically. Big, chunky dude. He wears old man clothes and everything. He put a shitty mask of her face, like a child's hand-drawn mask, one of those really bad ones, on his face, and changed his colors to blue and green. She's not green. She has no green on her. And she questioned whether he was actually her or if she was herself. She didn't know which one of the two of them was the imposter of her.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, she's so dumb. She's so cute, so I don't care.
Jesus. Well, $12, what do you say?
Oh, I'm totally for this. Yes, 100%. If you like monster people and you like comedy, you want this. I promise. This is fucking hilarious. I love this game.
Cool. All right, one final game to talk about tonight is called Rusty Spout Rescue Adventure, developed by Seven Raven Studios, published by Total Console, released October 21st on Xbox One for $6.99. Rusty Spout is a lonely but honest pirate. He sails around with his ship looking for new adventures and always helps people in need. Coco, the evil pirate, has kidnapped all of the children from Rusty's village. Now he needs you to help him defeat Coco and his monsters. Cole, tell us about Rusty Spout Rescue Adventure.
So this is basically Bubble Pop in every way, shape, form, but with a different story mode, if you will, different story involved. You have a setup where there's different colored bubbles and you need to shoot at them and make them disappear. That's the long and short of it. You can play in story mode. Go through the different levels where you clear the level, you move on to the next one. Eventually you hit a boss level. There's an achievement for being the first boss. I don't know who the fuck can ever possibly do it. It's kind of meant to be a scripted death, and the thought that you're supposed to be able to beat it for the achievement is just fucking stupid. Oh, because God. I am really good at these kind of games, and this guy just plows me over every time. The rest of the game works out fine. I beat everything with my eyes closed because I love these kind of pop games, and then I think they're great, and I don't know why that first boss just fucks me over. In addition to the story mode, which getting so far in story mode, I think it is what unlocks the extra characters. I wasn't 100% sure because I was going back and forth between endless and story just as I got annoyed with dying at a boss. I'd go play endless for a little while and then I'd go back to story for a little while again. And every now and then I'd be like, oh shit, I have an extra character. The different characters have more benefit in endless than anything because like they'll come with different power-ups. They each have a set amount of like different kinds of bombs or other devices you can use to clear the board, and different characters have different ones that you can start with. So like one may start with all just three bombs, whereas another one may have three of the electric line clears. Kind of hard to describe that shit, if I'm honest about it. It's like, without having seen the game already to know what I'm referring to. But if you've ever played any kind of Bubble Pop game, you're already aware of what kind of power-ups are kind of standard issue in them. And there's not anything like shaking the world up as far as this one goes. Which is fine. I don't have any complaints about it as far as all that goes. Now, I would like to fuss about one thing. Two things. Yeah, two things.
Let's hear it.
My primary complaint is, good goddamn, is the aiming slow? I felt like I was breaking my wrist trying to push the stick to aim. You're able to hold down the left or right trigger to go a little faster. Doesn't fucking matter. It's still slow. I think I'm spoiled by games like Peggle, where your little aimer just goes meow, wherever you aim it at, it's gone. That's what I want. At least give me some kind of sensitivity option if you're not going to make it fast out of the box. That seems like a mundane thing, but especially in the boss levels or when you're on endless mode, if you don't shoot within 60 seconds, it shoots for you. It's not a full 60 seconds. 60 seconds is your goal to beat the game to get a bonus. I forget what the actual time is for it to shoot on its own. I think it's like 5 to 6 seconds. If you don't shoot, then it just drops it wherever you're aimed at. That's a nightmare when it goes slow as it does.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my biggest frustration with the game, more than anything under the sun. It was just like, for the love of it, just let me move that aimer quicker. That's my technical term for it. It's an aimer. My second complaint. Nope, I already forgot it.
Proud of you.
Wow.
Well, then you only had one complaint about the game.
Yay! No, I had a good time with it. I was just frustrated with a couple of minor things. But the biggest one being, let me aim that motherfucker at a reasonable speed.
Yeah, and get rid of that auto timer.
The second one, if you die... Okay, three complaints. If you die, then you have to use a continue to keep going in story mode, or otherwise you have to start all over at the very beginning again. I love roguelikes, but I was not signed up for a bubble pop roguelike. And I was kind of frustrated. I was like, there is literally, you either do it all in one shot or you don't do it. And I don't know. That just doesn't fit well with this kind of genre for me. I didn't care for that. The other thing is that if you do have continues left, when you first start story mode, even if you've done the tutorials and everything before, you have a little dotted line, and for a couple of levels it hangs around, and then poof, it's gone. No more dotted line. You have no guide whatsoever for where you're shooting. Just
blow it into the
oblivion and hope for it. I hate that.
Me too. Give me an option to let me have that guideline on forever.
Now, if you die and you have a continue, when you come back from your continue, you get to do that level with the guide. Just let me keep it. Okay? I get that there are people who are hardcore bubble popping monsters and they can do this shit with their eyes closed. That's not me. And I want to A, be able to move quickly, and B, know where that shit's going to fall. That's all I'm asking for in this world. And C, a continue. I don't like live systems. I have just reached the point in my old age where I just find continue / live systems to be useless. Otherwise, I had fun with the game and I kept wanting to go back and play it. But eventually I just hit a wall where I was like, I don't have the energy for this anymore. And that was kind of a shame.
Well, $7. What do you think of it?
$7. Like I said, I did have fun with it. I just think it could be, you know, a little more polished and cater more to my laziness. And that's really all I want in this world. I just want games that cater to my laziness. So I'm going to roll with a recommended try. If you like these kind of games, you're going to have fun. You're just probably also going to hit a wall and be frustrated eventually.
Hey, it works for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, let us play with that guide on all the time, please.
Just look, I fully accept that I need super pussy crybaby mode.
Just let us have it. Just
indulge me, okay?
Yeah. All right, well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one.
Yeah.
That's the end of Talktober. We made it through.
Yeah.
No more Talktober.
Thank God. My anxiety is so relieved.
The funny thing is, it's the end of Talktober, and next episode we have an interview. So.
Fuck off! Why do you hate me?
You knew about this one.
I know I did.
Can't give me shit about this one. Jeez. Shit. But yeah, thanks to Jacob for coming on and doing his thing. Thanks to the two of you for coming on doing yo things. Music, we're gonna play something from Vert off of the new Raise the Dead soundtrack, because there's some pretty banging music in there, so we're gonna play a track off of that, and hope everyone has a wonderful happy Halloween. Don't go trick-or-treating, you fucking morons. Stay in home, because mm-hmm. there's a fucking disease out there, the virus that's killing the world. You don't need candy. Just go to Walmart and get it candy on clearance after Halloween.
You don't even have to go to don't even go to Walmart to buy candy. Amazon that shit. Let UPS drop it on your doorstep.
Yeah, there you go.